As we enter into a brief time in the Word this morning, we have been in the book of Revelation, looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ given by God so that His church, His people, could know what was to come. I want to focus today up on a picture given of the church, specifically in Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Then I want to skip down to verse 20, where we get an interpretation. In verse 12, the words of John, the one who is a part of this revelation, is given. John says, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance." Skipping down to verse 20, we get an interpretation from the one that John sees, where he says, "The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." And so we get this picture of the churches being represented by the lampstand. And so since Jesus is the light, I want to suggest to you and me that as the church, we need to have the light of Jesus on our lampstands. That any other light is insufficient. That we need the light of Jesus on our lampstand. The lampstand itself is not the light. The lampstand is what holds the light. The lampstand without a light is nothing more than just a beautiful piece of decoration. A lampstand without a light does not provide the vital function that is required of the light. The lampstand itself is not original here in Revelation, for it was back in Exodus when God gave instructions to Moses about his tabernacle that there was a piece of furniture in the tabernacle, which was the golden lampstand. And he wanted that golden lampstand placed in the tabernacle, and he wanted the light upon that lampstand to be lit continually to provide light in front of it for that area. And so it is interesting that when John turns and looks, that he sees seven golden lampstands, and then Jesus says to him that these lampstands represent the seven churches to which John was to write. Brothers and sisters, you and I are referred to as lampstands, and we are commanded then to let our light shine. We are commanded then to be elevated and to let our light shine. You're familiar with the words of Jesus Christ when over in Matthew chapter 5, he talked about we being the light of the world. He said, no one, absolutely no one, lights a candle and then places it under a bushel. No, you light a candle. You light a light so that it can be used to provide illumination for the area in which it is been designed to brighten up. To light a light or to light a candle and then place it under a bushel really completely defeats the whole purpose. Yes, he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. He says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So as a lamp stand, you and I then are to have a light up on us that will then give light to everyone, if you will, in the house. We've been called to broadcast, to shed light. That's why our main objective as born-again believers is to exalt the magnificent and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. That is why you and I have been called to lift his name up above every other name. That is why that it is only when that name is lifted up, when that name is placed upon the lampstand, when he is placed upon the lampstand, is there hope for a dying world. So when he called us lampstands, he was reminding us that you've been identified, you've been called out, you've been chosen to be a carrier of the light. That you were not saved and redeemed to go hide under a bushel. You were not saved and redeemed to go hide in a closet, but you've been called, you've been renewed, you've been rejuvenated so that the light of Jesus Christ can shine brightly through your life. Don't you remember the words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20? It says that I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but the life that I live for him. Because I have been bought with a price. I have been redeemed. I've been purchased. No, my life is not my own. He saved me so that I could be a light to the world, brothers and sisters. He saved you so that you could be a light unto the world. And you and I then are to make sure that we are allowing our lights to shine brightly and not some other light. We don't need an artificial light. We need the real light. Jesus declared in John chapter 8 and also in John chapter 9 that he is the light of the world. It was one of those great I am expressions where he said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who walks by his light will not walk in darkness. So he says, you and I then must realize that we must walk by his light so that we know where we are going and so then that we can also provide hope to others. Remember, we're the lampstand, not the light. That we're not to promote our big ideas, we're to promote his big ideas. That we're not to promote our solutions and our ways. We are to promote his ways. We are to eat of his table. We are to learn of him. We are to walk in his light so that we then can share his methodology, his truth. That's what light does. Light provides truth. We are to share his truth and to elevate who he is in his definitions. Yeah. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding. We are to acknowledge him in all of our ways so that he can make our path straight. Because when we put our hope and our trust in him, he illuminates the way. We're the lampstand. Jesus is the light. Make sure that that's what's being elevated. Make sure that he is the one who is being promoted. Make sure that he is the one who is being exalted. In our study of Revelation, we began with these churches on this past Wednesday, and we talked about the church at Ephesus, the church that had left its first love. And we were reminded that to be a lampstand that has left your first love, you are no longer an effective lampstand. And Jesus, in his gracious patience, warns that church and all other churches that you must also always, always, always have as the priority of your life, loving him first. It is the greatest command that was declared by Jesus in Matthew 22, when the question was asked to him, what's the most important? What's the greatest command that God has given? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He said that it was to love that is the most important thing that you do. Everything else is secondary. And so then if you are a lampstand, a church, not just an institution, but an individual that is not loving God first, then you are somehow watering down your effectiveness. And he said that you and I should then return to our first love. Make sure that we are loving him with our heart, loving him with our soul, loving him with our mind, so that all of the things that flow out of what we do come from a position of love. We do what we do because we love God first. And in so doing, we then exalt him. And his light then shines so that his name is glorified. As you and I read and study through these remaining churches, we are going to be seeing different aspects and different components, characteristics, if you will, of what the church that is allowing the light to shine looks like. And we're also going to be seeing warnings about those who are allowing inappropriate things to creep into their behavior and their practices. And so as we read through this, I'm wanting to encourage us and remind us that we are referenced or referred to as a lampstand because the lampstand is supposed to elevate the light and the light itself is supposed to shine. In ancient times, lamps themselves normally required oil as well as a wick. We are living in a day and time when we want light, we go turn on a switch. They were living in a time when they wanted light, they had to trim, if you will, the lamp, light the wick, so that it then would provide light. You and I, if you and I are to make sure that Jesus is elevated and exalted, we need to make sure that we have the oil of the Holy Spirit resident and present in us. Amen. That if you know what? If you are operating by your own means, then your light is not going to burn because you don't have the right fuel for that light to shine brightly. Remember, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit loves to lift up and glorify the magnificent name of Jesus Christ. And you and I need the oil of the Spirit to constantly fill us so that then we then are able to allow light to shine brightly. And so the lampstand talks about an instrument that is able then to hold, if you will, the lamp itself and the oil so that it will shine brightly. Brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful picture for you and me. And we need to know that if we are to be all that God has called us to be, that we need to allow His brightness to shine in us ever so clearly. Don't you know that you've been created for a purpose such as this? I love the statements that were being made earlier, talking about it doesn't matter what you're going through right now. Here's what you need to know is that you will be victorious. Why? Because you've been designed to be victorious. It doesn't matter how you are suffering. Why? Because he says, count all of your suffering. When you're going through it, count it as joy, because you know that that stuff is working out for you. Something that cannot be taken away from you. That when suffering comes your way, that's okay. Know that whatever suffering that God has allowed to come your way, it is designed to refine you. And as long as you can keep your eyes fixed on the one who sits high and who looks low, as long as you can keep your eyes fixed on the one who has been elevated, the one who rules, the one who is sovereign, the one who is in control, as long as you can keep your eyes fixed on him, he is going to allow you to navigate your suffering so that folks don't see your suffering. What they see is the one who is bringing you through your suffering, so that they will ask, how on earth did you make it through what you made it through? And you get a chance to tell them how you got over. Why? Because you were designed to be victorious. You were designed to be an overcomer. You come to understand that God causes all things to work together for your good, because you love him and you have been called according to his purposes. You come to understand that there is no weapon that has been formed against you that will prosper. Why? Because you have been designed and called to be victorious. What does victory look like? Victory looks like at the end of the journey, God is glorified. Victory looks like at the end of the experience, Jesus is exalted. That's what victory looks like. Looks like victory looks like you not giving in to the suffering and turning your back on God, but in the middle of it, you still say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Weeping may endure for a night. Oh, but glory, joy comes in the morning. See, that's what victory looks like. Victory looks like you holding on and lifting up the magnificent and wonderful name of Jesus Christ as the one who was the first and the last, as the one who was dead but now lives forevermore, as the one who is sovereign and holds the keys of death and Hades. It looks like you holding him up and remembering that there is no place that you can go that you are separated from him, that there is no thing that can attack you that he can't deliver you from it. Why? Because he's been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and everything has been placed in subjection to him. Victory looks like you holding on and not letting go. You becoming an overcomer. And I've got good news for you. As a lampstand that understands that you are to broadcast the light of Jesus Christ, as a lampstand that understands that you've been built to deal with the stuff that comes your way. Why do I say that? Because it's the golden lampstand. It's a lampstand that has been fashioned to look good. It's a lampstand that has been fashioned to endure. It's a lampstand that has been fashioned to not lose its battle, no matter how many scars it may bear. When you're a gold lampstand, it doesn't matter how many dents you get. You're still worth the value of the gold. Oh, that's good, somebody. Somebody ought to get excited. Ought to get excited about knowing that no matter what you've gone through, it does not change who God has made you to be. That's good news for you and me. That it means that when stuff comes our way, God is still with us. God is still our Redeemer, and God can still take us and use us to his glory. Brothers and sisters, that's good news. And he says that if you are a lampstand, remembering that you were created to bear the light, then he has good news for you and me. Oh, we saw that when he spoke to the church at Ephesus, he said to them, "For those of you who overcome, I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Oh, he says, for those who remember and who overcome, who remember that you were created, designed for victory, and you overcome, he says, there's a reward for you. Oh, he says to the church at Smyrna, for those of you who overcomes, he says, you won't be hurt at all by the second death. He says, listen, I've got you covered because there is a reward for the overcomers. To the church at Pergamum, he said, to him who overcomes, I will give him a stone, some of the hidden manna, and I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. He says, I'm going to give you plenty to eat from a hidden place, and I'm going to give you a stone that grants you access to every place that I've opened up for you. Oh, see, as an overcomer, there is a reward that if you hold on and don't give up. And brothers and sisters, I just wanted to remind you in these brief moments together that you and I are overcomers. You and I are overcomers. That you and I have been designed and we've been set up. It has been made possible for us to make it through every difficult situation, every journey, every experience that shall come up against us, because he has made it such that we shall be victorious. Paul said it this way, that it matters not what comes up against us. For if God is for us, who can be against us? Said he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he also not along with him graciously give us all things? He says we were designed to be overcomers. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? The answer is no. Persecution or famine? No. Nakedness or danger or sword? No. He says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. He says, listen, in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, no matter what it is, we are more than conquerors because we are overcomers. We are victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are overcomers who have been identified, symbolized as lampstands, not just any lampstands, but golden lampstands who have been specifically prepared to carry the light of Jesus Christ, the gospel of his great name. And we have been fueled by, and we are fueled by, his Holy Spirit, the one who lives in us, who dwells in us, so that we then can be the image, conformed to the image of Jesus. So that wherever we go, we carry the hope of Jesus. And let men and women know that this same Jesus, who was anointed with the Holy Ghost in power, has authorized you and me to be carriers of his Spirit, so that we then can share with others his truth, so that they can experience his healing, experience his wholeness, experience his deliverance, and grow in his likeness. Oh, remember that you are the lampstand. that was designed to cast the light of Jesus. And when you do that, you illuminate the way for the captives to be set free. You illuminate the way. You illuminate the way for the prisoners to walk out of darkness. And you illuminate the way for men and women to know of the one who loves them and who gave of himself that they might have life. Bless his holy name. Father, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, for his finished work. We thank you for his redeeming blood that has washed us clean and made us ready recipients and receptacles of his power and of his love. We thank you for his blood that gives us life. We thank you that in him we have life. In him we have all that we need. We have the forgiveness of our sins and we have redemption. We thank you that we have a new assignment, a new appointment, that you have called us to represent heaven well while we are yet here on earth. And as your anointed and appointed ambassadors, thank you for empowering us to do your bidding. In the matchless and majestic name of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus, the risen King. Amen.